WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Only a few hours left until a partial government shutdown is set to kick in. Earlier, the U.S. House passed a bill to fund the government through March 14th. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
We are excited about this outcome tonight. We're grateful that everyone stood together to do the right thing. And having gotten this done now as the last order of business for the year, we are set up for a big and important new start in January.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries takes aim at Republicans and President-elect Trump's demand that the debt ceiling be lifted, which is not in this bill.
House Democrats have successfully stopped extreme MAGA Republicans from shutting down the government.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says they're trying very hard to pass the stopgap spending bill tonight. Two people are dead and dozens more injured after a driver plows his car into a Christmas market in eastern Germany. It took place in the city of Magdeburg, almost 100 miles southwest of Berlin. BBC correspondent Damian McGuinness.
The suspect, who has been arrested by police, is thought to have been a doctor from Saudi Arabia who has been living in the region for many years. It's not clear what his motive was, and the man has no own links to Islamist extremism.
Many Americans are already on their way to holiday destinations. A record number of travelers are expected to make their way through Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, where CBS's Skylar Henry has been hanging out.
All signs indicate that records will be broken this holiday travel season. AAA has already indicated that they anticipate more than 107 million people to hit the road alone. Tack on more than 7 million people hitting the air, and they say that it will be a busy, busy travel season.
In Delphi, Indiana, Richard Allen is given the maximum sentence of 130 years in prison for double murder. He was convicted of killing 13-year-old Abigail Williams and 14-year-old Liberty German while they were hiking in the winter of 2017. Carroll County Sheriff Tony Liggett.
They're missing milestones because of a low-life coward decided to take their innocent lives.
The party's over at Party City. CBS's Michael Toscano explains.
For nearly 40 years.
I found so many decorations and color choices at Party City.
Party City sold costumes and a wide range of party goods at over 800 stores and online, but the chain has fallen victim to customers paring back discretionary spending. The company is closing down immediately, and that puts as many as 6,400 full-time and 10,000 part-time employees out of work. The pandemic hit Party City hard, and a shortage of helium took the air out of its importance. Balloon business. Michael Toscano, CBS News.
This is CBS News.
Power up the holiday and give a gift from the top of their wish list. Visit your local Steel dealer today or shop online at steelusa.com. That's STIHLUSA.com.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Jordan Love says he's good to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers holding practice this weekend, getting ready for Monday Night Football after suffering a knee injury in September and later a groin injury. Now, in late December, quarterback Jordan Love was asked how he's feeling heading into this week's game against the Saints.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a lot better physically, you know, not really dealing with any lingering injuries. So it feels good being out there, and, you know, it definitely helps being 100% and not having to worry about anything being out there on the field.
The Packers 13.5-point favorites over New Orleans. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight against the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Then tomorrow night, they'll be back home against the Washington Wizards. The Badgers basketball team hosts the Detroit Mercy Titans Sunday at 1 p.m. Badgers center Stephen Crowell on improving after a rough start to the season.
I just got to keep giving credit to my teammates and my coaches pushing me these past few weeks and just being coachable. I think it's the big thing. You can't point fingers. You got to look yourself in the mirror and just figure it out.
That's the Badgers Stephen Crowell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. HBO is making a preemptive renewal for Dune Prophecy. The network announced ahead of last weekend's season one finale that there will be a season two. The show that stars Olivia Williams and Emily Watson is a prequel based on the novel called Sisterhood of Dune. All six episodes of the season can be viewed on Max. The Brutalist is currently playing in theaters and has received incredible reviews. The film stars Adrian Brody, who threw himself into the role, saying it was very fulfilling to work himself into exhaustion. The way Brody described the casting process sounded exhausting, too, as he was cast, then replaced, then ultimately found his way back into the lead role of a Jewish architect relocating to America after the Holocaust. Brody and the film are receiving great reviews and serious Oscar buzz. If you plan to check it out, though, pack a lunch, as the film is a healthy 3.5 hours long. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 0 to 5 above. Looking mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a little warmer, high near 20, and a mix of sun and clouds and a high in the low 30s Sunday. Few flurries Monday, a high in the low 30s, dry and mid-30s for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Currently, it's 10 above.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for an all-new live show. We'll preview the big Monday night football game, the Green Bay Packers. Brady Ewing will be here and many more surprises. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, which means distant thunder. Hey, Cudgy Weed, all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
A great sponsor and a great work that they do all over Turtle Island just amazes me. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and Dr. Stately is Native American Community Clinic President and CEO, and we're here just having our normal conversations. I want to say recognize Orange Shirt Day. Dr. Stately, welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Good afternoon. Good evening. How are you all?
Doing good.
I forgot to wear my orange shirt today.
Okay. Well, yeah.
You're not wearing one either, though.
Oh, well, thanks for calling.
Not like I'm tattling on you. It's obvious you're right there.
Hey, I heard something today. If people were saying if you didn't have an orange shirt, that you yourself were the orange shirt.
Yeah. So, like, yeah.
It's
built into the skin.
That's right.
It'd be hard to see. Can you see it?
Yeah. You're kind of orange. Yeah, you're a little orange there. You got the farmer's orange. You must be doing a lot of growing out in the backyard there at your fellatio unit out there.
And, my palace.
Your palace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Hey, with your assets, I'd retire, you know?
I'm not sure how to respond to that. I was like, yeah.
Hey, so I want to ask you about harm reduction.
Oh yeah, my harm reduction shirt. Today we had a big huge event outside in our clinic today, and our street outreach team is open. We open up our back door, we provide food, and today was a big event because we were doing a bunch of things with them. So people come to the back of our building, we open up our garage door, we provide all kinds of harm reduction services and kits like clean needles and a bunch of other things. But today was a special day because we have the, I forget who it is, oh, they're going to kill me. they have a clever name, but anyway, they bring shoes. So twice a month they come, they bring shoes, and houseless people need a lot of shoes. Homeless people, they're walking the streets, you know? So unlike me, who doesn't walk anywhere, and it shows, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. You walk your dog.
I've had the same ten pair of tennis shoes for 5 years.
Oh my God, that's
those are your indoor shoes?
No, I just like, you know, my whole family makes fun of me because I don't ever really buy any new shoes.
I don't know what to say to that. I thought you were walk the dog all the time. Have you been lying to all my listeners?
I do, but like, you know, I'd have to walk them thousands of miles to, like, you know, run out to wear out my shoes, I suppose. I don't know.
Wow.
It probably speaks more to the fact that I am just like, I'm a miser. I don't like to spend a lot of money on stuff. I grew up poor. So like, I'm going to get like the last, you know, square little tiny milliliter of track, got, you know, some rubber out of that shoe before I throw it away.
Wow.
So my nephews buy me shoes for my birthday sometimes because I won't buy them for myself.
Wow. I'm that way with paper towels. I have paper towels in my pockets all the time. And I don't know what that's all about, but
we were supposed
to use paper towels. And so I always have to, but they're handy. You know, if something happens, I got them in my pocket ready to go.
That's true. You never know. You're the quicker picker-upper, you know.
Well, Dr. Staley, you have a birthday coming up this week.
I do, yeah.
Are you catching up to me?
Hot on your heels. I have been for the same number of years. But, you know.
So you'll be 53?
I'll be 62 on Thursday.
Oh, okay. So you're still a young warrior there, 61.
Somewhat, yeah.
Baby elder.
Yeah, but I'm it's so odd because I was born in 1962, so it's my I'm turning 60. How does that whole thing work? Is it my golden birthday?
No.
My golden retirement birthday? My golden...
No.
How does that work? Anyway.
Yeah. That's a good question. That is a good question. Wow. Hopefully I'll be invited to this birthday party. The last few years.
I don't have birthday parties.
Oh.
Oh, we got to throw you one then.
Yeah. This
over
is like,
Haley's house.
Oh, yeah. This is why I don't tell people that it's going to be my birthday, because I don't like to have this conversation, but
yeah.
I think it's like leftover stuff. You know, I'm a middle child, and I'm a child, I'm one of seven, and I'm kind of later down the line here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So things that, you know, I think are probably a lot of other Native kids, especially from like, you know, my family was, I'm fourth generation boarding school survivor.
Mm-hmm.
My mother and my father both went to boarding school. Their parents went to boarding school, and my mother's grandparents went to boarding school. So my great grandparents. In fact, my grandparents, my grandparent, Paul LaRocque, went to Carlisle in the early 1900s. He played ball with, he played football with Jim Thorpe.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But I think the residual effect of like being, you know, a boarding school kid, and also being like a member of a family who had relocated from White Earth during the Relocation Act period of time, growing up kind of like poor, like I just don't, you know, I'm like there's hardly any pictures of me when I was a kid, right? Lots of pictures of the first two or three kids. And then, you know, I'm just like, oh, look, there's Tony when he was five. No pictures or evidence of me being
right.
I was like, oh, did I drop from the sky?
Well, that's I always claim that's why I was an alcoholic, because my parents really didn't take pictures of me, or they kept me low profile, and I was a cute kid too, so that was on my list of things.
Wow, we have no evidence of that, but you know, we're just gonna take your word for that. But but you can't blame your parents for making you an alcoholic. That's crazy.
that was a long time ago. That was 40 years when I was grasping at straws.
You know, I was just like. Anyway, it's interesting that today is a National Boarding School Day, Boarding School Survivor Day, and I like haven't really, like I happened to see somebody at the clinic wearing an orange shirt, and I was like, oh, I forgot my orange shirt. And I actually don't even own an orange shirt. I just happen to think orange looks horrible on me, but I will make an orange shirt. I'll make an orange ribbon shirt this year, so I have one next year. But I often don't think of myself in that way. I don't think, like I don't, it doesn't hold as much presence in my day anymore in my mind, and just so I guess maybe I'm healing, I don't know, I suppose.
Probably so. I guess too, a lot of the orange shirt is in remembrance of all those young ones that didn't make it back, and
there's plenty that haven't.
Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, Native American Community Clinic President, CEO. We'll be right back after this short break.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Here. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Love that tagline. Hey, welcome back here. We're Dr. Stately, and we have our friend Barry Hand coming up next, and he's talking to us in our chat. He thinks we're funny.
Yeah, I guess we're a couple of little jokesters. But I should apologize for being so glib about boarding school survivor day. I think one of the things I would say is, like, it's really important that we also acknowledge that many boarding school survivors and their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren have the residual grief and, you know, a lot of harm that they still live with. And that is kind of like the nature of historical trauma and intergenerational grief, that people sometimes suffer from those things greatly, even if they themselves have never gone to boarding school, right? So And it's important to acknowledge that and help us. It's also important to recognize that that experience has been probably along with like forced removal of children, you know, in the 60s and 70s, which is kind of the things that happened to my family, are things that have really reshaped Native American families and our community. Has been probably one of the most damaging things that have happened to us over the generations. So we're still working our way out of those things in many of our communities. I think it's a very unique contribution that it has to our mental health and substance use problems within our communities. So like, you know, opportunities to just kind of like acknowledge that, and you know, I should be a little bit more careful with it, how I joke about those things. But you know, I've worked hard. I think one of the things I mentioned this, I can't remember if I mentioned it in this context, but I mentioned like one of the things I'm the most proud of is that for myself and the work I've done on my own healing and well-being is like, you know, the experiences that I had with me being in boarding school, the physical abuse, the sexual abuse, you know, all the kinds of things that have really, you know, were really traumatic for me in my early life. Those things stopped with me and my generation for my children. My children have never seen me drunk or high. They've never, they'll never experience those things.
Right.
So it worked really, really hard to, you know, to work through those things and heal from them. So prayers up for all the people who are still struggling with those conditions. And hopefully, you know, you'll get some support and some strength from your ancestors and your as well as the community hold you up and support you while you work on that.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, and it's a national day of remembrance for the U.S. Indian boarding schools. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of reasons why it's a yellow shirt. But I just want to say, I saw this thing that popped up on my social media, and it said the last residential school closed in 1996. The TV sitcom Friends premiered in 1994. Don't let them tell you it's ancient history. And I think you were talking about that right there, you know, with your family and people we know.
Yeah. I mean, I give talks and trainings and lectures and, you know, discussions sometimes about historical trauma and its impact or generational grief and, you know, the impact that those experiences like boarding school and a number of other failed policies that the United States have had. In their attempts to address the Indian problem, right? They have, it's important to, when we talk about intergenerational grief or historical trauma, that we understand that sometimes that's a misnomer. Like people think like, oh, it's, well, that happened so long ago, like, why are we still complaining about it? It happened so long ago, why can't we just forget about it and move on? Well, that's just not the way that trauma and grief work. I think the other part of it is like, you know, I'm 62 years old. I went to boarding school when I was 5, and I got out when I was 11 and a half years old, 12 years old. And then that wasn't that long ago, you know. It was 47 years ago or so, right? So I think part of it is like recognizing that, you know, that isn't a long time, right? Mm-hmm. And in some places in the United States, there's still boarding schools that operate, even though they're not necessarily operated in the same way. But our children spend a lot of time away from their families, from their loved ones, their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents. And that has an impact on children.
Yeah, absolutely. There was the story about how Orange Shirt Day came up was, I've seen, and it was like Jack went to, or Phyllis went to a mission for 1 year of school in 73 and 74, and had just turned 6 years old and lived with the grandmother on Dog Creek Reserve. We never had much money. but somehow Granny managed to buy me an outfit to go to the mission school. I remember going to Robin's store and picking up a shiny orange shirt. It had string lace up in the front and was so bright and exciting, just like I felt to be going to school. When I got to the mission school, they stripped me and took away my clothes, including my orange shirt. I never wore it again. I didn't understand why they wouldn't give it back to me. It was mine. The color orange has always reminded me of that and how my feelings didn't matter and how no one cared and how I felt I was worth nothing. All of us little children were crying and no one cared. So that's how Orange Shirt Day started.
Yeah, it's a sad story. But I mean, I remember those experiences, my first days showing up at boarding school, you know, and doing all the things, cutting my hair, taking away my belongings, you know, those kinds of things. It's a beautiful story and a very sad and mournful story at the same time.
Yeah, and I mean, we're
I'm really regretful it wasn't a purple shirt because I really love purple.
Well, that we can segue into the Vikings victory too, if you want.
Oh yeah, that was a pretty cool thing, huh? It's like, okay, but you know, don't get too excited because it is really just the beginning of the season, and we all know what happens by the end of the season. So, like, you know,
well,
unfortunately,
I was in right next to Penn Station in Manhattan, and there's a Vikings bar, and they were going crazy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I was not happy that the Minnesota Wild lost their first game yesterday. So.
Oh, what? I know.
They've started already?
Yeah. Their first game was yesterday against Winnipeg. Well,
was it a real game?
Well, yeah, preseason.
Oh, they don't count.
No, I think
they've
it was
had a few
game.
Preseason.
No, it was game one, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. First game.
The Lynx. Yeah, the Lynx were on yesterday, too.
They lost
though, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're still in it. They can still keep going if they win the next game.
Yep. Yeah. Just got to keep going.
Being a Minnesota sports fan is like a special, it's like a special designation. They should actually create something for us nationally to, like, you know.
Well, I used to really care. And then the last Super Bowl the Vikings were in, they broke my heart in 1977 against the Raiders. And then since then, I haven't really cared that much.
Is that the last time they were in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, they came so close over the last couple of years, but the last several.
Like, well, they were in it four times and lost it.
Oh, you know. It's not whether you win the game. It's like, are you in the game? I'm
joking. Oh, my God. Mr. Jockstrap here. Hey, really happy. Let's swing it over. The polls are looking good. We have to vote early. We have to vote early and then take our relatives to vote. And so that's what we talk about a lot here. But we got the debate tomorrow. Are you going to be watching that?
Of course. I'm excited. Are you going to go to are you watching it at home? Or are you going to go to watch party?
Well,
how come you're not hosting a watch party?
AM 950 is, but I'm in New York still, so I will be watching it in New York. But I'll be in DC for the swearing in.
Really?
Oh, you will.
I'm sure.
You can come home, and I can swear at you for free here.
Yeah. Oh, I was waiting for that. Is this segment over yet? Ho!
I'm so excited that you're having my good friend, my brother. Technically, he's my nephew, Barry Hand. I'm probably older.
We should pop him on, but I think he's shaving because he didn't realize that we were going to be on the radio.
Is he shaving his face or his head? Which one?
I don't know. Barry, you're on. Can you tell us? I know you have to unmute your mic there, Barry.
I can unmute. I can come on.
Yeah.
So I've got a face. I got a face for radio. I don't have no hair. My hair is running away from my face. And now everybody's on video.
Welcome to 2024.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you had some zingers there earlier, Tony. I'll join you when it's time to go pay Robert a visit.
Right. Like, we'll be on.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tappel Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. Heading to the Senate for a vote is a short-term funding bill passed by the House earlier to avert a government shutdown at midnight. CBS's Scott McFarland.
There were some changes, some substantive changes, but not on those top-line things that got the attention of Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and the leaders of both parties.
Authorities in the German city of Magdeburg say at least two people have been killed and over 60 injured after a car plowed into a Christmas market. They call it a deliberate attack. CBS's Elaine Cobb.
German police believe the suspect acted alone, and they suspect he had an explosive device in the car.
Some advice for air travelers this holiday from regional TSA director Chris Mergia at Baltimore Washington International Airport.
We do recommend that you get here at least 2 hours prior to your domestic flight. And if you're traveling international, we recommend that you get here a little bit more than that, maybe about 3 hours.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Jordan Love says he's good to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers holding practice this weekend, getting ready for Monday Night Football after suffering a knee injury in September and later a groin injury. Now, in late December, quarterback Jordan Love was asked how he's feeling heading into this week's game against the Saints.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a lot better physically, you know, not really dealing with any lingering injuries. So it feels good being out there, and, you know, it definitely helps being 100% and not having to worry about anything being out there on the field.
The Packers 13.5-point favorites over New Orleans. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight against the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Then tomorrow night, they'll be back home against the Washington Wizards. The Badgers basketball team hosts the Detroit Mercy Titans Sunday at 1 p.m. Badgers center Stephen Crowell on improving after a rough start to the season.
I just got to keep giving credit to my teammates and my coaches pushing me these past few weeks, and just being coachable, I think, is the big thing. You can't point fingers. You got to look yourself in the mirror and just figure it out.
That's the Badgers' Stephen Crowell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. 28 years later is the third installment of the 28 Days franchise. It is the first installment in a new trilogy that starts with 28 years later. 28 years later, The Bone Temple will be the second installment in the new zombie trilogy and is scheduled for release on Martin Luther King Day in 2026. 28 years later opens June 20th, 2025. Billy Bob Thornton likes to play loose and less predictable roles. That was his answer when asked why he turned down popular villain roles. In an interview with Deadline, the actor said he turned down roles in Spider-Man as the Green Goblin and as an arms dealer in Mission Impossible 3. Thornton says he had no interest in sitting for 5 hours while being made up green, and in regard to Mission Impossible 3, says he didn't want to be the guy trying to kill Tom Cruise, adding that when you are a bad guy on that level, that is how people remember you. He's right. I still can't get Sling Blade out of my head. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 0 to 5 above. Looking mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a little warmer, high near 20, and a mix of sun and clouds and a high in the low 30s Sunday. Few flurries Monday, a high in the low 30s, dry and mid-30s for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Currently, it's 10 above.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest. Shane Matiner is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, a simple way to reduce the burden on property taxpayers. Have the legislature go back to paying its fair share for special education.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're with our friend, old friend, Barry Hand, who is a program director at Owamni Yamni Okota Yapi. And I want to see, how did I do there, Barry?
You did really good. There's only one wrong way to talk Indian, and that's to not try.
So oh, wow.
To try. Don't worry about how it's pronounced. Just do your best.
Right on. Hey, we still have Dr. Stately here, and before we get talking about what you're doing, and I guess because Dr. Stately's on every Monday is your fault.
Well, I tell you what, he has a special place in my heart, my family's heart. You talk about boarding school stuff and, you know, him not wearing an orange shirt. Well, he was there, you know, and mm-hmm. I went to boarding school, but my experience was a lot different by the time I was school age. For me, it was a sanctuary place when, you know, because I got involved in a lot of gang violence at a young age. And so boarding school actually for me was a good experience. Also, I had aunts and uncles there that worked there. But, you know, I went to Pine Ridge High School, Oglala Community School, and you boarded on the during the week and you went home on the weekends. So a little bit different scenario. But my dad had a pretty ugly experience that he really didn't talk about it much. So.
Yeah. Only looking just sacred behind me.
I know, and that I think they call that dead air, Robert.
Yeah. Well, that was only a couple seconds. It when you listen to the show again, it'll seem a lot shorter than.
Oh,
that.
Okay. It's like yeah. a okay.
So thank Barry, you were gonna be host of. A matter of fact, you named this Native Roots Radio, by the way, the show. You were gonna be the co-host because I was just a dum-dum, and we would have had a great show.
You know, I tell you what, when I was a grandma's boy, and I'm really grateful for that. And I was always, when I went to boarding school, the dynamic out there was a little different than other places. And a lot of the folks in town kind of looked like me, and a lot of folks from the district looked like my dad and everybody else. And my grandma always told me, she says, always take up for the Indians and the district kids, you know, stand up for them. They're your cousins too. And times have changed. This was a while back, and she's always said to help. And so, you know, when you came into my life, and you know, you have your story, kind of my role in life is to be a helper, and that's my job, is to help and stand up my relatives. And you know, can I do a quick shout out?
Absolutely.
You know, I want to say hello to my auntie Nola Smith, my cousin Wayne Hand, and Tasha Hand. They're all Ho-Chunk Nation members, so. Just want to say hello. Maybe they're listening.
I know that was. I've told Haley, my producer, who's my Weeha, that how important you were in my journey when I first found my birth mother, and that's been 11 years ago.
It's a struggle, and it's no matter how you slice the pie, it's almost like birth, right? It's kind of a painful process. It's kind of a painful thing, and. And, you know, we're at a time right now, I mean, we've always been at a time where we kind of, how do we look at ourselves? How do I identify ourselves? And, you know, now that I'm joining the geriatric club, you know, I really have a lot of faith in these young people, you know, your niece and others, they're going to inherit what we leave them. And hopefully, you know, right now these kids, and when I mean kids, I'm talking the 20 somethings and down, you know, they can turn on TV and they can see themselves on TV portrayed in a beautiful way where we never had that. We had Powell Highway. I think we played the heck out of that.
VHS. Smoke signals.
Yeah. Well,
Powell Highway.
Yeah.
I grew up with Gunsmoke.
Well, I didn't want to go too much into the.
Back in the day, they'd shoot one bullet from their rifle and 10 Indians would die.
Well, I'm from the F Troop era.
Holy.
Oh, wow.
Grandpa.
Yeah.
And you are a grandpa now. Congratulations.
A big peenie geeky. Wendy and I are so excited. It's a beautiful thing, and they're healthy.
Isn't it awesome?
Yeah.
It's the best. They're twins. That's amazing.
You know, my son has made so many beautiful grandkids. I tell you, I could run for president right now, and I'd have a 1% vote because of my son. He's given me 4 beautiful grandkids, and I'm so grateful for that.
So, he's doing good.
Yeah,
he started out a little slow, but he's really picked up the pace.
He's doing okay. You know, he's Ogallala, so you know how he is. He's mission creep. He'll sneak up on you.
Mission creep. That's funny. I want to acknowledge what Barry was saying, because I think, like, you have a beautiful daughter, Madison, who's dating my nephew, Chaske. They're both going to Fort Lewis.
We call that Mojave.
Yeah, exactly. That's called making relatives and keeping the nation strong right there. But I think, you know, what's beautiful is I get to spend time with those children every once in a while, those young ones. And, you know, they're like going all around Indian country, just getting all the trophies for being the best Dakota speakers. Everywhere they go, they get first place or second place. And it's just remarkable. I mean, these are the kids that I remember holding those little babies in my hands when they were little tiny ones. And so I couldn't be more proud of them, and they're just doing amazing work. And, you know, that speaks highly about the contributions you've made in their lives. Barry, I know you were very, very, you know, a strong contributor about, you know, especially for my nephews, showing them and demonstrating what it means to be a Dakota man. And,
you know, well, I tell you, I was lucky.
Helping community, so.
I was lucky. Foster care did me justice. And had I not landed where I landed, I wouldn't be who I am. So I'm grateful every day for, you know, going to foster and then being permanency, being adopted by my dad. And I could have been struggling with a lot of urban people. Well, who am I? What am I? Where do I stand? And where I landed, and landed in a home where they spoke Indian all the time. You know, there's just a different type of understanding of the world, I think. Not better, just a different understanding.
Yeah, I gotta echo what Dr. Stately said too. Those young warriors that you've had so much good influence, seeing them now become dancers, going to college, but also around the drums. And I remember when they first started, you know, they weren't that good, but they've been keeping it up, and they are really good. And I always joke to them, I go, I'll come and sing the AIM song with you. Oh, wow.
No, it was tough because, you know, a lot of those youngsters I met through education, I got into teaching. My uncle, my dad's first cousin, Jerry Dearly, retired from teaching language, and he kind of volunteered me to do that. And I never wanted to do it because it forced a lot of the not good enoughs for me to deal with them. And I didn't want to do that. And so, of course, with education, and then COVID came, and then, of course, you're familiar with my cancer diagnosis. I was sick all the time, so I had to kind of leave education because – you can imagine, be a regular teacher, you get sick all the time with the kids, but now with a compromised immune system, it's just hard. It's really hard. That's how I ended up landing with the Waumani Omani Okodiapi, you know. And so we're taking a lot of those life ways and programming to this not for profit that's, you know, pretty recent. And I know Robert, when we were at the school, like when we reached out to Ho-Chunk TIPO office through Danielle DeLong, and they had a chipotle built in the
courtyard,
and a chipotle, for folks that don't know, it's a traditional Ho-Chunk dwelling. Those are the kind of the life ways, the skill sets that I think we need to bring to the table. For our heritage kids. And I tend to talk about heritage kids versus non-heritage. And I do that in a way because I don't like to be exclusionary. We have a lot of non-Indians that are kind of married in, live amongst our people, are accepted as family and loved ones. And so they kind of a lot of times get grouped into the heritage. So if you have a blended family, you're not going to tell a family to leave two of their kids home. You're going to tell everybody to come. But mm-hmm. one of the things we have to be really careful with our life ways is who our audience is and who we're teaching, because we don't want it to end up on Etsy or something like that. And somebody extracts one of these life ways and decides to sell it. So yeah. it's really yeah. an ugly dynamic. I mean, I just seen recently I rejoined the Facebook world, and boy, I got to wear boots because, man, it's rugged out there. It's out like the Wild West. But, mm-hmm. You know, there was sweetgrass being sold at what's that store in Woodbury?
Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just things like that. People, you know, they co-opt, and that's never good. And so, you know, we're starting to develop some programming in Ouamani. And one of the things that we are looking, and I know you and I have talked about, Robert, is reinvigorating dugout canoes.
Yeah.
This isn't a Barry idea. None of these are Barry ideas. These are ideas that are spurned through our knowledge keepers and our program committee. So we have folks from the four Dakota communities in the diaspora that are part of our programming committee, which kind of help us decide what type of program offerings we're going to have and who we're going to mm-hmm. offer to, and what's the appropriate audience, and who's our target audience. And so we want to do dugout canoes, and we know that your community, your nation did some really cool stuff down there on the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
Matt Pendleton, he's, I don't know if I can say names mm-hmm. out here, but he's with Lower Sioux. He's done phenomenal work down there for them for years, but he kind of lit that fire of bringing back the dugouts along with a few others. And so Matt is one of the folks guiding us on this journey. So hopefully in the short term, maybe next year or so, you're going to see Dakota dugout canoes along the Minneapolis skyline, downtown Minneapolis, mm-hmm. where a lot of times you don't think Dakota very often. And so there's that fine line of re-engaging and not asserting is it the right word, but just being present and being visible. So,
yeah that's awesome. And I think part of Ho-Chunk and Bill Quackenbush's journey in Wisconsin was that they found one in Lake Minnetonka, one of the lakes that are in Madison that was around for a long time, and then they duplicated it.
Bill's nationally known. And so we kind of look at our relatives to the east, to the north, and our other tribal nations. And, you know, we share ideas all the time. And so kind of what some of the programming, a lot of the programmers say, well, we didn't know Dakotas did that, but they kind of had that woodland cultural.
Yep.
The same as their Ho-Chunk, Anishinaabe, and Potawatomi relatives.
Hey, we're here with Barry Hand and Dr. Stately and Haley Cherry. We'll be right back after this short break.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
The Met Council is the governing planning agency for the Twin Cities metro region. One of our biggest responsibilities is to create a long-range plan every decade that imagines the best future for all of us. We need your help. We want to know your thoughts on the latest plan. We're calling it Imagine 2050. We'll use it as a guide to shape public policy and drive growth over the next 30 years. It'll help us improve the everyday essential services we provide, including transportation, housing, water resources, and parks and trails, with input from the 7 counties and 181 cities and townships in the region. But we're still missing the most important piece, and that's you. Visit engage.metrocouncil.org to learn more about Imagine 2050 and share your own thoughts and hopes for the Twin Cities region. Let's imagine a better, brighter future together. engage.metrocouncil.org. That's engage.metrocouncil.org.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs, and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I think we have to do that again. I didn't see Dr. Stately howl.
Me neither. What was
that?
I thought this was going to be like a hazing event, and then I was going to be the only one doing it, you know?
No,
oh,
never.
No.
Well, that's a good idea. We should try that sometime again.
Well, that's, see, you know, we had a little chat.
I got a short little howl on there.
We had a little chat in the chat, and we were wondering if Barry's number was correct. And I said, yes, it's correct. He just doesn't text you back.
Nice. You can't say that on the radio because I yell at my kids for not texting me.
Oh,
they're going to say, you did the same thing, Dad.
Well, the reason I ask is because I do actually have 3 different contacts for him in my phone.
One would say I've lived the life of debauchery, and no, I'm kidding.
Well, hey, let me try this again. I am here with Haley Cherry, Dr. Stately, and Barry Hand. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio.
Okay. So have you guys ever been down to Ouaminiamini?
Yes.
I have not had the chance to do it yet. I tried to go down there a couple weeks, like they have it all blocked off now, right now. But you know.
How about you, Hallie? How long ago did you go down there?
It's been a while. I think probably about last year this time, actually.
So it's funny, when I got out of teaching and I came onto the organization, I really didn't go. I'm an East Metro guy, right? St. Paul guy. And so I don't go to Minneapolis too often. And they had a really good interpretation of the site. If Dakota people never lived there, right? They didn't mention Dakota people one time. And that was really problematic when we came on, because the place is so powerful. There's a sacred site that was there also. Witawanagi was an island that was a sacred island, which we have documentation that even, you know, Ho-Chunk and Ojibwe people came and left offerings there, and along with Dakota. And so that island's gone. It was destroyed in the 50s to make room for the Lock-In Dam. And so what we did, one of the things that we did this year was we put up some interpretive signs where there's those little QR codes on there. Mm-hmm. And those QR codes, what you can do is you can scan it and then you get a Dakota interpretation of the site in Dakota. But of course, you know, I'm an educator, and so it's a bilingual reader. So on the sign, you can follow along. And if you want to learn the phrases, you can, this is the English phrase and this is the Dakota phrase. So that's one of the things I'm really proud of. But here's the thing, I say Dr. Stately to be respectful, but to my loved one there, Tony, it was Madison and Chas Gay who did the recordings.
Oh,
and they did that as volunteers. They didn't want money. We offered to pay them. They says, no, we want to volunteer. We want to give back. And I think this younger generation is really going to teach us older folks a lot about selflessness. And I'm super excited for whenever, you know, they're engaged and they take their place.
Hey, I heard her voice on the website. Is that there's a website out there that speaks into Lakota, Dakota, and English.
I think that's what it is. And then of course Chas Gay, he's the singer, and you can hear him in the background. And actually, you'll hear him, Robert Henry Jr. And then I don't know if I could say names on. They're all adults. Sean was on there, and Sean Smith, and then Ruben Keto.
Oh wow, there's another of Dr. Stately's nephews.
So it's kind of like Dr. Stately is like Kevin Bacon with the Indian version.
Yeah. 6 degrees.
Yeah.
He is. Yeah. He is. Bacon. 6 degrees of Dr. More like, Stately.
More like Buffalo.
You know, and so, and another thing that we did is for Victory Day, and I know you guys are aware of that. For Victory Day, we had a Victory Day celebration, which was pretty cool. And we had some, we did a lot of our victory dances. We sang, we call Miwakichi. We sang those down there at the lock that were this land that we're leasing for 25 years. And then after 25 years, the Four Dakota communities are going to kind of decide if they want the land after we restore it. Because a lot of time with land back, right, they end up giving the tribes a Superfund site. They give,
right.
They return stolen land and say, clean it up.
Exactly. That's,
you know, most of the communities aren't in a position to do that. And so we had that Victory Day celebration, and we had all these little children. They were counting coup on the Army Corps sign. And it was such a special sight. And, of course, again, these things are coming from our program committee, our knowledge keepers. And one of the things that we have, which is really unique, and I hope other nonprofits might follow suit, is we have a tribal working group. So we actually have an appointee from the Four Dakota communities that kind of, so Prairie Island, Shakopee, Lower Sioux, Upper Sioux. Before we move forward anything, the tribal councils are engaged. And that's something that's so important. And I know our Ojibwe relatives in Minneapolis, our Ho-Chunk relatives in St. Paul, they're so connected with their tribal councils. And so this is one way for us to engage Dakota people, even folks who are from the diaspora who might call the Twin Cities home. And when I talk about the diaspora, of course, 90% of our Dakota relatives live outside the state of Minnesota. So,
Barry, can you tell everybody, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't know what Victory Day is. Could you give a quick synopsis of that?
So Victory Day is celebrated by most of your tribal nations in the area. You know, we had Battle Little Bighorn that day we memorialized. For us, it was a Victory Day. It was a peaceful camp, and women and children and Custer and the United States Army attacked it, and they had a really bad day. They kind of say Custer got sued, right? But, you know, so at that camp, we had every band of the Great Sioux Nation, Ocheti, Shagoing, Dakota, Lakota were there. There were other tribal nations as well, the Shaila, the Cheyenne, the Arapaho. There were Cree people there. They said there were some Comanches. There was a Red Lake chief that was going to bring his warriors to stay at that camp. His name was Mustang, but the traditional chiefs, it was one vote they needed, and they said, no, stay home. And so it was kind of, even though it was the vast majority were Seven Council Fires people, there were other tribal nations that all stood in solidarity. And of course, Custer was wiped out. And so we celebrate that day. Most of the tribal governments take the day off, and I think that, and just so you know, when the U.S. 1862 conflict popped off, it was the Ho-Chunk chief, Little Priest, that was actually the one that killed Andrew Myrick. You know, the Little Priest stood side by side with those Dakota warriors, and that's a lot of history that people don't know.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, one of the things, Barry, you come to mind too, since a lot of times when you introduce me, you introduce me as a Ho-Chunk to your friends and people that are just meeting me, and talk about kind of what Trump talked about with people eating dogs.
For us, we don't talk about too much stuff in the outside world. And
no,
and we have the visible culture. We have the visible culture that we let outsiders see. And then we have that quiet culture from behind the scenes, and we don't tell them about it. And we can never tell them about it, because again, that wasn't until 1978 our people could do things openly. But best thing is to be off their radar, because the one thing I know is they can make it hard for our people.
Right. And I guess I didn't mean dogs. I meant other people. We ate other people, you always introduce.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I never said that. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about there. Well, hey. Here, man, you're trying to have me howl and yeah. trying to get my auntie to call me up and give me.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Dom Selvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K., will join us. Plus, does MAGA have their pitchforks and torches out for their own speaker, Mike Johnson? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. 3 times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A short-term funding bill passed by the House earlier now has to be approved by the Senate. A midnight government shutdown looms. CBS's Nicole Killian.
The latest version would extend government funding through mid-March, retain more than $100 billion in disaster aid, and keep $10 billion in economic assistance for farmers.
At least 2 people are dead and dozens injured after a driver plows through a Christmas market in Magdeburg, Germany. CBS's Haley On.
Authorities are saying that they are not concerned about any remaining threats. Now that he has been detained, that they believe that he was acting alone.
Roger Karstens, the U.S. chief envoy for hostage negotiations, is in Syria searching for journalist Austin Tice and tells CBS's Margaret Brennan.
We had a lot of information over the last 12 years that pointed to a variety of facilities. And in necking that down over 12 years, we came up with a priority list of about 6 sites. And of those 6 sites, we felt that this had the highest probability of having held Austin at one time.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.